This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here. Rob Brenton is here as well. We are so happy. We are enthusiastic about being here. Yesterday was one of the greatest sports nights in the history of our fine city. The Kansas City Chiefs take care of business on Monday Night Football, and the Royals go on the road in the second game of the divisional series and take care of the New York Yankees. The Royals are coming home tomorrow for two games on Thursday and Wednesday. We will be at Kauffman Stadium for both of those games. We are expecting, knock on wood here, Eric Hosmer is going to join me out at the stadium. Huddler is going to be out there. Vern's going to be out there. We are going to have a lot of Chiefs over the course of the next 4 hours. Also going to have a lot of Royals over the course of the next 4 hours as well. Really happy that you guys have decided to make us part of your Tuesday. All right, we got so much to get into. We are going to lead with the Chiefs and the Royals because I imagine you were either flipping back and forth or maybe you did the YouTube TV multi-view and you got a chance to watch both teams play at the same time. We'll get to the Royals coming up after Rob gives you a chance to win a pizza.
Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6-913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations in Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie or just want a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatassio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you watched both teams play last night, the best place to recap those are with us right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right. You know what? I am happy that our show has decided to be the show about math. Because baseball, when you really boil it down, it is just a series of equations. We are here to give you the numbers and the information because that matters. Let me tell you something. They have been doing the divisional round of the playoffs in this same format, two there, two here, one back at Yankee Stadium. They have been doing this format since 1995. Now, that's a pretty decent sample size. I think you would agree. That's a long time. That's before the Olympics were in Atlanta. They've been doing this a long time. Did you know that the teams that are heading home for games 3 and games 4? Well, that would be the Kansas City Royals. In a series that was tied 1-1, they have won 66% of those series. Now, some teams lose in this scenario. but way more of those teams win. We told you yesterday that it was a must-win game for the Royals and that it was the only way for you to have the advantage in this series. I think these two teams are far closer than maybe their records would indicate and the payrolls would indicate. We've seen two games between these two teams. We've seen 18 innings. One team doesn't look particularly better than the other team. So you got to figure out where you can find advantages. And I think it is clear when you look at the math, when you look at the pitching dynamic in possibly three more games of this series, whether it's Seth Lugo going in game three, whether it would be Cole Reagans potentially pitching in game five back at Yankee Stadium, the Royals, as of now, have the advantage in their series over the New York Yankees. Think about the two courses of action. It is either take care of business in your next two home games in front of sellout raucous crowds at Kauffman Stadium, or worst case scenario is you go back to Yankee Stadium for another game with Cole Reagans on the mound and the Yankees. Their kryptonite is left-handed starting pitching. The Yankees won 94 games this past season. They had a losing record against left-handed starters. We have found out what the weakness is for the New York Yankees, and if there is a team that has elite, high-level left-handed pitching, it would be the Kansas City Royals. Baseball is a series of math equations, and this equation is firmly in the Royals' favor. Teams in this position win 66% of their series. Yesterday, they did exactly what they needed to do. They got timely hitting, they got runs, they got a good starting pitching effort, and that bullpen came in and once again was lights out. That has been the formula for this Royals team so far in this postseason. You now come home for a couple of games on Wednesday and Thursday, and in my opinion, you now have the advantage in your series against the New York Yankees. All right, Rob, let's talk about the football as well. I imagine a lot of people were bouncing back and forth yesterday, catching up with the Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs. We are going to head to New York coming up in about 20 minutes with Justin Shackle, who covers the team. We'll get the Yankees' perspective on yesterday, and we'll also talk about Jazz Chisholm when I have no clue why you would go out of your way to make yourself the villain in this series. Royals fans were leaving you alone. You're a good player. A lot of Royals fans wanted Jazz Chisholm to be a Kansas City Royal. I don't know why he would now put himself at the top of the villain list and open himself up to the boos that are going to rain down from the heavens tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium, but that is what they have signed my man up for. All right, let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. You want to know what my favorite thing about yesterday's game was? And I would say that yesterday was the first time that we have seen the Chiefs do this offensively at any point this season. You know what they did? They took what the strengths and weaknesses of their offensive lineup was and maximized that to its full potential. I don't have to tell you that the Chiefs right now are dealing with a lot of injuries, whether it's on the offensive line, whether it's in that running back room, whether it's that wide receiver room. The Chiefs have been hit with the injury bug. The Chiefs then go out and pick up Kareem Hunt, a guy who used to be a number one running back in this league, a guy who has way more tread left on the tires than I thought that he did. Yesterday, they gave Kareem Hunt the ball 27 times, and I know Rob's going to tell you it's causation versus correlation, that the Chiefs had the lead the entire time. When the Chiefs run the football effectively, you are not beating them. Yesterday, the Chiefs had a well-balanced attack of Patrick Mahomes, who played really well, throwing for over 330 yards, and they ran the football effectively. The Chiefs outran the New Orleans Saints 139-46. If you replicate that formula, you are not beating the Kansas City Chiefs. So the Chiefs have a capable running back, and they gave him the football. You know what else they did? The Chiefs have invested more in tight end than maybe any other team in the National Football League. They have the greatest tight end possibly to ever live. They just gave Noah Gray a new contract. They brought back Jordy Fortson. They spent the draft pick on Jared Wiley. You know what they did? They threw it to him. They threw it to Travis Kelce. They threw it to Noah Gray. They threw it to Jody Fortson. It's not that hard. It's simple. Get your best players the football or use your roster strength to your advantage. Right now, a strength in their run game is Kareem Hunt. Right now, one of the strengths in their passing game is the tight end. You know what Juju Smith-Schuster is? A tough run after the catch, yards after the catch receiver. You know what they did? They got him the ball in space yesterday. It worked. We thought that Juju Smith-Schuster was left for dead. He got cut by the New England Patriots for a Kendrick Bourne. He had 7 catches for 130 yards. He had more yards receiving yesterday for the Chiefs than he had his entire time in New England. Mecole Hardman, you know what they did with Mecole Hardman? You're going to be screen guy. We don't need to give it to you out of the backfield. We don't need to get too cutesy. We're going to give you the ball at the line of scrimmage, and we're going to use your incredible speed to make a guy miss or two and pick up yards. He was an extension of the run game. Xavier Worthy, you might be the fastest guy in the league. We're going to send you on a couple of streak routes and see what happens. He forced a long pass interference because you threw it down the field. It was so encouraging to watch yesterday offensively. Yes, the Chiefs still have some flaws offensively. This is a team that still struggles in the red zone, which makes sense given the offensive pieces that you have. But you know what, yesterday? The Chiefs' offense was handed lemons, and they made lemonade yesterday. You were handed Kareem Hunt, who is shown to be a very capable dual-threat back and a guy that, if you give carries, can have success over the course of his career. They did that. He had success. The Chiefs have invested heavily in tight end. They used them yesterday. It worked. You've got fast, speedy guys on the outside. Get them the ball and make a guy miss. I thought their offense between the 20s to the 20s was as potent and as efficient as you can expect them to be given the personnel. I love the offense for the most part. We'll talk about the defense that just continues to strangle the life out of other team offenses. Alvin Kamara was non-existent for most of the evening. Chris Olave, who's one of the better young receivers in the National Football League. Anytime your brother is tweeting about the usage that you have on a national TV game, your brother didn't do a whole lot. Chris Olave, padlock, locked up yesterday. A non-factor, non-existent in the game. You could not have written up a better Monday night if you were a Kansas City sports fan than what you got. Cole Reagans was fantastic. Salvador Perez hit a home run yesterday. The Royals go on the road to tie up the series 1-1 against the New York Yankees. And the Chiefs continue to be exactly what they are. They're the best team in the National Football League, and it's not close. They continue to dominate the rest of the league. In a league in which we gave you the stat yesterday, teams that were 5-point underdogs are better. They were 16-2-1, and they have been 12-6 outright. There was never a chance for the Saints to win that game yesterday. They got completely dominated from start to finish by the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Justin Shackle. He covers the New York Yankees. We'll also talk about Jazz Chisholm, that for some reason has decided to be the villain in this series. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Coming up in just a bit, we are going to be joined by Justin Shackle. He covers the New York Yankees. We'll get his thoughts on the now road team's perspective on how the first two games of the series have gone. I want to play some audio for you guys. This audio is from Jazz Chisholm. Now, Jazz Chisholm he's a pretty good player. Can play in the outfield, can play on the infield. When the Royals were looking for a bat at the deadline, he was a player that I wanted the Royals to go out and acquire. Now, I feel good about that. He's been a good player for the Yankees. He's been a good player in this series for the most part. I don't know why he did this.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
Here's the thing. I like when the players say interesting things. I like when they're funny. I like when they're a little controversial. I like when they stir things up. It's really good for people in my profession when they do this. I just don't know why you would go on the road and make yourself the target. No one was checking for Jazz Chisholm. Not when you got Aaron Judge on that team and Juan Soto on that team and Giancarlo Stanton, and you just got superstars up and down that lineup. You now want to be the most hated player on the field, and every time they announce you, you're going to get booed? It wasn't going to be any noise when you went up there. Now you turned yourself into public enemy number one. This is silly. This is dumb. There's no reason to do this. There's really no reason. And respectfully, Jazz Chisholm, I don't know if you're good enough to be doing this kind of talking. The Royals got lucky. They just beat you. They were up 4-1 after five innings, and they held on and won the game 4-2. How did the Royals get lucky yesterday? It wasn't like it was some controversial call. You know what possibly being lucky is? Being called safe when you were out. That's lucky to me. Not having an obvious play overturned. That feels a little bit lucky to me. I don't even understand how the Royals could have been lucky yesterday. Rob, can you try to make some sense of these comments from Jazz Chisholm? Again, I like it. It's Sports Talk Radio. I like when he gets you guys all fired up. I just don't know why you would put the heat on yourself if you're Jazz Chisholm for absolutely no reason. Can you even explain to me why, if you cover the New York Yankees, why you're even talking to Jazz Chisholm? We got maybe the biggest star in baseball on this side. Go figure out a question to ask Aaron Judge. Why are you even talking to Jazz Chisholm? That man could walk around Kansas City and be completely under the radar and go unnoticed. And now they're going to boo you? You know what I would do if I'm the Royals? I don't even know if this goes against Major League Baseball rules or not. You know what I would do? Instead of giving us random stats about how he hits with runners in scoring position and what his BAPIP is and all these other baseball terms that they come up with, I would just put his quote on the Jumbotron. That's it. I would just put his quote. Listen to this. This is unbelievable to me.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, did you expect him to say that the Royals are better and that they'll win? People are making this a bigger deal than it should be. It's good for radio, I guess. Okay, here's the thing. There is a big difference in saying that the Royals are better and that they'll win than calling the Royals lucky when they just beat you. And the people making it a big deal than it should be, the only people that matter in this are the fans. I don't care what Jazz Chisholm said. It don't matter to me. I don't care. You know who cares? 40,000 people tomorrow at the game. You just put this heat on yourself unnecessarily for no reason. That's why. That's why it matters. They were never going to boo Jazz Chisholm. Whenever you went up there, they were going to play your little walk-up song, and you were just going to go completely unnoticed in this scenario. Now, people are going to hold Jazz Chisholm signs up who had no clue who he was yesterday. That's what makes this so stupid. That's what makes this so dumb. There's a way to say, hey, man, the Royals got us. We'll get them again in game three. Then call, it's dumb. It's, there's no way to justify what Jazz Chisholm said. Absolutely no way to justify it. None. Nonsense. It's silly. It's dumb. That's the only way to put it. It's dumb. Let's head to the phone lines right now. 913-586-7965 to be joined by one of the voices for the New York Yankees. Justin Shackle joins us on the show. Justin, man, we appreciate you. We have been going through the stats since 1995. Teams that were 1-1 and heading back homes to games 3 and game 4, they win 66% of the series. How do you feel about this series right now? What do you make of this series being tied at one apiece?
I tell you what, I'm bullish on this Yankee team this year, but these first two games, there were a lot of mistakes for the Yankees. I thought they were fortunate to come away with the win in game one. I mean, their starting pitching, I know it's not a starting pitching era. I know it's not a marquee position the way it was. I know, you know, relievers are all about grip and rip. That's the era we're in because relievers have never been better, but I still believe in October, your starting pitching is going to be your backbone. And Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon, they've combined for 8 2/3 innings and have allowed 14 hits over the first two games. So that really stood out to me. And look, for most of this season, the Yankees didn't get to 94 wins by accident. They are a talented group. But for a lot of the mistakes that they do make, they were covered up by Aaron Judge and Juan Soto really doing a great job and having spectacular seasons. We know the story with Aaron Judge over the first two games. He just hasn't hit. So I think you're seeing the small detailed mistakes that have been with this team for much of 2024. It popped up a little bit in the first two games, and Aaron Judge hasn't been there to mask those mistakes. I think that's what you've seen so far. And also they're playing a team that uncovers a lot of mistakes in the Royals. Like, you don't need me to tell you this. I mean, they have two excellent starting pitchers at the top of the rotation. They have a bullpen that caught a lot of fire down the stretch, and they have a fast lineup. And sometimes those are the ingredients that can expose an opponent's weaknesses.
Why do you think the Yankees struggle so much against left-handed starters? This team has been fantastic from start to finish, but left-handed starters really give them a difficult time.
I think for the totality of the regular season, that's definitely something where the overall numbers don't look too good for the Yankees. But down the stretch, actually, of the regular season, they had performed better against left-handed starters. So I don't know if it was a trend that was maybe reversing itself, but the overall numbers, obviously not good. They rank either the half or the bottom third against lefties. And it's just you try to figure out and get to the bottom of it over the course of 162, and no one really has a definite answer. So it's one of those baseball things, perhaps. If you look at the numbers league-wide, I think they've been down against left-handed pitching overall this season. But, yeah, for a team like the Yankees, it's something that stands out for sure.
Justin, it feels to me that these two teams are maybe a little bit more even than what the paper would say. And whichever team can get their star going, whether it's Bobby Witt Jr., who doesn't have a hit so far in this series, or Aaron Judge, who has also struggled so far this series, whichever team can figure out a way to get their star involved, that's probably the team that's going to have the advantage moving forward.
Can you believe that? Can you believe Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr. are a combined 1-for-17 in this series with, I think, 8 strikeouts? So, yeah, I mean, what do we hear all the time when you go into these types of series? One team is going to do its best to have that star player not beat them. The Yankees and the Royals have done good jobs neutralizing their star players. I don't know, how long is that going to last? Who knows? But that, you want to keep taking advantage, I think, obviously, if you're either side here. One thing that struck me, kind of surprised me last night, in at the time it was a 3-run deficit, Luke Weaver came on, and he's been sensational for the Yankees since taking over as the closer. And he came out to face Bobby Witt. in that ninth inning. And again, just one small part of the game, but it was an extra at bat in which Witt was able to see Luke Weaver. And in a short series, a playoff series, the more times that you're seeing a reliever, I think the advantage goes to the hitter. So that actually surprised me a little bit. Again, a small detail last night. I don't think it was going to amount to much, but you know, obviously the Yankees, you know, you want to play aggressive and keep the game within three runs. But that's something that jumped out to me. It's one of the big stories here. Judge and Witt not getting it going so far.
Right now, we're talking to Justin Shackle for a couple more minutes. He covers the New York Yankees. I have a stat for you. Teams that are heading home for games three and games four in a series that's tied at one apiece, they have won 66% of those series. So the math would say that the Royals have the advantage moving forward. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like the Royals have the advantage right now in this series?
I think you have Lugo going in game three. And look, I mean, if you want to just go by those types of numbers, yeah, look, it's a best of three series right now with Kansas City having home field advantage. Nothing shocks me anymore. I will say this. The Yankees were by far and away the best road team in baseball this season. I mean, they played over 600 baseball on the road. I mean, that was their best winning percentage on the road since, I believe, 2003. So they took care of business at Kauffman Stadium when they were there in June. They were a few outs away from pulling off a four-game sweep. They took three of four, and a Clay Holmes blew a save, and that's how the Royals picked up the win in the finale. But there is something to that, I think, this season with the Yankees. I think they, for whatever reason, they've been and looked a little bit more comfortable on the road. So, you go with the chalk in a short series for sure. But if you want to go with, you know, what your eyes are telling you here in 2024, the Yankees have been a really good road team.
Justin, as somebody who covers this sport, how cool is it that every divisional series is tied at 1-1 right now? It just goes to me to really show you the parity that we have in the sport. We saw that over the course of the regular season. No team won 100 games, and there felt like there were so many teams that are jumbled up that a big market club like Kansas City and a small market club like Kansas City, these two teams feel even in this series. What does, I guess, this divisional series say about where we are at baseball with the parity from top to bottom?
I love it. I love the chaos. I think it's never been more of a tournament type format than it is now. Some people may not like it. I generally do. I think, you know, in terms of getting here and getting to this point and advancing, never mind, you know, if you throw the payrolls out the windows, look, it's going to measure how tough you are. And toughness is a big ingredient to getting to a championship. So, between the layoff, the rest versus rust debate, the parity, the market size, all you throw it all in there. I'm looking to see who the toughest team is, because the toughest team usually wins out. And when they're there, then you deserve it.
Last thing here, Justin, I appreciate your time. What are your keys? What do the Yankees need to do to get this series back to Yankee Stadium for a game five?
Well, I think they want to just end it in Kansas City. They want to end it in four
Good
games
point.
For sure. But I think I think they need to hit more. Bottom line, I think the top four in their lineup, top five, you got to throw Giancarlo Stanton in there. They haven't come through with big hits. Look, they're sluggers. They can do more than hit just home runs, but they haven't slugged. They have to slug, and they also have to receive better starting pitching than they had in the first two games. I think those are the two keys right there.
That is Justin Shackle joining us on the show today. Happy to catch up with him, Justin. I don't know how often you talk to Jazz Chisholm, but I would just tell him that he is about to walk into a hornet's nest tomorrow, my friend.
I'm all about the drama. I'm all about drama. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how the start of Game 3 looks over at Kauffman Stadium.
That is Justin Shackle joining us on the show. Justin, great stuff, man. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Well, trust me, there's going to be a lot of drama tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium directed towards Jazz Chisholm. I just don't understand it. You're not Justin Timberlake. You're not Beyonce. You were Chris Kirkpatrick. You could have just stayed low key. You could have just kept being Lance Bass. Just do your dance, do your little choreography, keep collecting these checks, stay under the radar. Nobody was checking for you, Jazz Chisholm. You were doing just fine. Why did you have to do this to yourself? I'm telling you, it is not going to be good for you tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium. I just want to go ahead and put the word out there. I want him to get mentally prepared for it, because the boos that are about to rain down on that brother tomorrow, it is going to be of biblical proportions out there at Kauffman Stadium. Let me give you guys a number really quickly. Rob, did you know that Aaron Judge in his postseason career is hitting .208 and has a .311 on-base percentage? Did you know that? You could argue that Aaron Judge is the best baseball player on the planet. He's certainly in the conversation. Him, Shohei, Bobby Witt Jr. He's going to win American League MVP. You can absolutely argue that Aaron Judge is the best baseball player in the world. He looks like playoff James Harden. He looks like early playoff Peyton Manning to me. That's what I'm seeing. He looks like NFC Championship Aaron Rodgers is kind of the vibe that I'm getting right now from Aaron Judge. Embarrassing performances so far. Absolutely embarrassing performances. It ain't good.
I mean, this is the MVP. Costas mentioned it ad nauseum last night. The unanimous MVP is coming to bat. Well, he also got very excited by a pop fly he hit. Oh, it could go. It's a can of corn, Bob.
It was a can of corn. No, that's accurate. It was a can of corn. You know what? I've got more numbers for you guys. I just have so many numbers, so many stats today. I was working the computer box earlier today. Word to Sean Barber. Do you guys remember there was a song in the mid-2000s? It was called Locked Up by Akon. I used to love that song. You know what? I'm going to guess that that's Trent McDuffie's favorite song. Rob, can you give me a little bit of music, good brother? Can I tell you guys what Trent McDuffie has been out there doing? Zay Flowers had 37 yards. Didn't score. Jamar Chase. You know Jamar Chase. He's like Jazz Chisholm. Loves to talk. Jamar Chase had 35 yards. Didn't score a touchdown. Drake London. He played all right. He had 67 yards. Quentin Johnston. Robbie had 9 yards yesterday. Or a couple weeks ago. Yesterday, Chris Olave. Chris Olave's good. Chris Olave's like a top 25 receiver in the National Football League. I really like Chris Olave. I liked him coming out of Ohio State. He had 10 yards receiving. Padlock. Locked up. Incarcerated. In the hole. It's bad for these wide receivers. I'm telling you, anytime your family members start tweeting about you not getting enough targets during the game, you ain't playing well. Did you see that from Chris Olave's brother? One target, question mark. Well, number one, you got Derek Carr as your team starting quarterback, so that should already let you know that something was going wrong. I'm going to tell you this. I should never hear Chase Tipton's name in a football game. They were throwing way too many passes to Chase Tipton yesterday because your boy Chris Olave was getting absolutely locked up yesterday. Trent McDuffie had that brother in a straitjacket yesterday. I felt bad for him. Rob, let's talk about the running backs here. It's been bad for them too. Derrick Henry, 13 carries, 46 yards. Alvin Kamara yesterday, 11 carries, 26 yards. Updated scoreboard. Starting running backs against the Chiefs are averaging 2.6 yards per carry. They take your Hall of Fame, all-pro running backs, and they turn them into Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's what they've done so far this season. They've done this against quality backs. They played up against Bijan Robinson. They went up against J.K. Dobbins. Alvin Kamara, who's been a top five back in the league. Derrick Henry, who was going to the Hall of Fame. Zach Moss and Chase Brown, two capable running backs for Cincinnati. They don't have 200 yards as a group against the Chiefs. They don't have 175 yards as a group. That's five different backs. They don't have 175 yards out of the group. It's been a padlock. I understand why the Chiefs offense grabs so many of the headlines. Because of the star power, Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid's an offensive coach. What the Chiefs defense has done over the last 18 months has been absolutely remarkable. It has been. I mean, we're talking about stars in this league. Jamar Chase, Zay Flowers is a really good player. Chris Olave, Derrick Henry, those guys have done nothing against the Chiefs offensively. You saw what Atlanta's offense did the next week when they played Tampa Bay. Points everywhere, just throwing the ball all around the field. Darnell Mooney, great. Everybody's playing well. None of that was going on when they were playing the Chiefs. The Chiefs defense is the best unit on their team. I know no one outside of Kansas City would say that or acknowledge that because of Patrick Mahomes, because of Travis Kelce. It is not close in my mind. They could have played another four quarters of that game. I'm not sure how many more times the Saints were scoring in that game. They never got it going yesterday offensively. Olave never got going. Alvin Kamara didn't get going. They had one deep pass to Shaheed yesterday. They had one deep pass. That was it yesterday. That was it. It was the only thing they could get going the entire game. Coming up at the top of the hour, there's one thing that I need to complain about. You guys know I can't go. I know that we're happy. It's sunny outside. The Royals are coming home for a playoff game. The Chiefs are 5-0 heading into a bye week. You guys think I could go the entire show without complaining about something? That's not in my nature. That's not what this show is built on. The show is built on me complaining about things. We'll do that coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, somebody on this show has to give J.J. Piccolo his flowers. I will do so. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You know what? We spend a lot of time giving members of the Chiefs their flowers, and it is certainly well-deserved for the success that they have had. But we need to also acknowledge the job that J.J. Piccolo has done, not just in the offseason, you know, bringing in Michael Wacha, bringing in Seth Lugo, some of the other moves that they've made, the Cole Reagans trade, who was, I mean, that was a deal at the deadline. You were just trying to get back a prospect. You then got an ace in return. So J.J. Piccolo certainly gets a lot of credit. These players weren't on the team on the 4th of July and have made a critical, or play a critical role in this team's success today. Tommy Pham was a late pickup. Talk about not on the team 4th of July. He went on the team Labor Day. Tommy Pham has two RBIs in this series against the New York Yankees. Yuri Gurriel, who I understand gets a little bit of criticism at time. Why are the Royals having a 40-year-old designated hitter as their power hitter whenever Vinny was out? Gurriel's actually been kind of good for the Royals since he's been here. Certainly needed. Lucas Erceg, that was their big trade that they made at the deadline to go acquire a guy who you thought could be that bridge guy. I would say that Erceg has been even better than expected. The process of building this playoff team did not just happen in December and January. This was a process that was evolving as the season went on, and as you could see, various needs for the Kansas City Royals. When the Royals needed bullpen help at the deadline, the Royals were pretty aggressive in trying to go meet that need. Whenever Vinny Pasquantino went out with an injury and we were unsure if Vinny was going to be able to come back, they then go out and make a couple of different moves. Now, they all work to varying degrees. Picking up Grossman hasn't really worked out that well for the Royals. Picking up Tommy Pham did. Picking up Gurriel has also helped this team. Making the trade for Lucas Erceg has been good. J.J. Piccolo continues to deserve a lot of credit, Rob, for how he built this roster and putting them in the position. And all you want is your management to try to seize opportunities. And you remember, you were here. People didn't really want them to put a lot of chips in the middle of the table. Hey, why mortgage the future? They were able to improve their roster and get better despite not leveraging really any major future assets for this team. That if you want to go out and make a move in the offseason to try to compete for the division, it can be there. If you want to be aggressive in the trade market, you still have your assets to do that. For the Royals to pick up four or five players that are now a part of your 26-man roster for the postseason and are helping you win road games at Yankee Stadium, and you didn't really give up a whole lot to acquire those players, that is a testament to your general manager and the staff that he's put together behind the scenes.
Isn't what you just laid out the definition of being transactional, which is what everyone was begging the Royals to become? Like, Dayton Moore has a World Series and he'll be in the Royals Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame, whatever one day. But toward the end of the Dayton Moore era, one of the chief complaints was he just stuck it out with his guys and was not transactional. Since J.J. Pecola has taken over, he has been transactional. And not every swing is a hit. But when he does hit, he hits big, and you're seeing it on the field. Tommy Pham, good move. You're right. Robbie Grossman didn't work, but take the shot. No harm, no foul. Worst case is you take a flyer on a guy who doesn't add anything for the postseason, which is what happened. Lucas Erceg, incredible trade. You could argue the bullpen started to turn around, and we all gained confidence in it with that one move. Hunter Harvey on paper looked good. It didn't really work out so far, but you keep taking swings. We talk about it all the time across the parking lot when it's Brett Veach, the Veach special. Oh, Veach will take a shot. Veach is always working the phones, and Veach is always doing this, that, and the other. J.J. Pecola, since becoming the GM of the Royals, is doing the same thing. He just doesn't have the hardware yet, but the path he's on, there is a chance he has hardware one day because you got to take a shot, and sometimes you hit big. Dayton Moore stood pat far too often.
And I would guess that there have been also other opportunities, like when you're going through and you're talking about, a lot of it has just been volume, sheer volume of it. The Royals didn't just take one or two swings over the course of the season. The Royals have taken like 8 swings over the course of the season. And if you connect on a Michael Lorenzen, that's great. If you hit on a Harvey, that's great. Paul DeJong, you remember there was a time there, Paul DeJong was very important to what this Royals lineup was doing with his power, and they kind of needed it for a time. Now, he hasn't really stepped up big in the postseason. We'll see if his number gets called. Right now, you're kind of leaning on Michael Massey. He's been very big for this team. Tommy Pham was really good yesterday. Mikel Garcia had 4 hits yesterday. You and I talked about outside of that big three. Right now, you're not getting anything from Bobby Witt Jr. You don't expect that to continue for too much longer. But Salvador Perez hits a home run yesterday. This team, you obviously need your core. You need your stars. But you're also going to need those secondary pieces. You're going to need Tommy Pham to continue to be a big producer. Mikel Garcia, Michael Massey. If this team is going to knock off the New York Yankees, you're going to continue to need those secondary players to make big plays in big spots.
I would argue that outside of the Salvador Perez home run, the Royals are 1-1 right now on the backs of their role players. Tommy Pham has been good in both games. Garrett Hampson has been really good in both games. I know Mikel Garcia before the season was one of the young guys we thought, oh, he can be like a pillar for this organization. He wasn't this year, but he's been good in the postseason. Michael Massey, he may be working himself into calling it the Big Four with how good he's been in the postseason. He's been a guy that you trust. Like most everyone in the bullpen, not named Erceg, you would have said, hey, that's a role play. Like, Angel Zerpa is not a guy that anyone talks about. He was really good yesterday. Like, championships are won by stars, and I get that, but every championship team has 2 or 3 moments where you go, oh, the role player stepped up. If we sat down and waxed poetically about the Chiefs Super Bowls, we could easily find the role players. The Royals right now are getting their role players to step up in those big moments, which is key to becoming something more than just a playoff team.
I want to play this audio for you guys really quickly, and we'll get to Complain Dot coming up at the top of the hour. I know that some of you think that this show was hard on fans when it came to attendance. You want to know why I was so hard at fans? Is because I know what you're capable of. I know that you guys are an A-plus fan base, and you were turning in C-minus work for most of the year. Tomorrow is going to be special at Kauffman Stadium, and it's going to be special because of you. I'm not the only one that thinks this. So does J.J. Pecola. Listen to this.
Well, I think it's great. We went to Atlanta. There's a great atmosphere there. Baltimore is a great atmosphere. You come here, it's a great atmosphere. So we've played with, you know, as the opposition in these tough places to play. Now you go home, and the momentum just swings towards you. But all of the guys that have come through our system, they've seen all the highlights. A lot of, you know, our baseball 101 classes or plays we've picked out of the playoff runs we were in 14 and 15. So they've seen the hype and the emotion and the stadium turn blue. So they have not lived it, but I think they're looking forward to seeing it because they've heard all about it.
We can admit, Royals fans, you guys have been turned off for most of the season. Man, but when you guys buy in, don't you see how much fun it can be when you start believing in the Royals and buying into the Royals? It's fun again, isn't it? I know you've been into it. We'll see the television numbers tomorrow. We're going to see the crowd. This is how it could have been all season. It could have been like this the whole year. It didn't have to just be like this the last 2 weeks of the season. See what happens when everybody is on the same page? So we're going to keep challenging you. We're going to challenge you again next year. But tomorrow's going to be great. It's going to be special. It's going to be like old times. It just took all of us buying into the Royals at the exact same time. Look at what's happened when we've all bought in. Magic could potentially happen. The Royals have a legitimate chance of going to the World Series. I'm not saying they will. They have a legitimate chance. Teams that go home tied 1-1, they win 66% of their series. And I will take my chances against any of the other teams that they played 13 times over the course of the season. Man, the Royals really got a shot to do this thing. Coming up at the top of the hour, it cannot be all sunshine and unicorns on this show. I have to find something to complain about. But some of my complaints are the same things that you're complaining about. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.